Welcome to church on this second Sunday after Easter. My name is Tina Jones, and with me today are our musicians, Sam, Rosemary, and Young Lan. And our Bible reader is David, and reading prayers is Diane. And of course, bringing us today's Bible teaching later in the service is Trevor. Please follow along in your order of service, or simply listen in and join in with the Amen. God's word calls us to make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing to the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Let us begin by doing just that in our first song called Worthy of All Praise. To meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and to return to the Lord with repentance and faith. Praying together. Heavenly Father, You have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. We're going to hear from God's word, but before we do, let me just pray. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from John chapter 21, starting at verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumour spread among the believers that his disciples would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Let us affirm our faith together. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him, to reconcile him to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God our Father, may we look forward with hope to our resurrection, for you have made us your sons and daughters and restored the joy of our youth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. God of love, make your way known to the people of this world, your saving power among all nations. Guide and govern your church by your Holy Spirit, so that all who call themselves Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are currently afflicted or distressed in body, mind, or circumstances, especially families being touched directly by COVID-19 anywhere in the world. Relieve them according to their needs, giving them patience in their sufferings and deliverance from their afflictions. Uphold all the medical and nursing staff as they selflessly work in such pressured circumstances. This we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We pray, Lord, for those farmers in New South Wales who have lived through drought, bushfire, dust storms, floods, and the current pandemic, but are now facing the threat of a locust plague. We pray for your spirit to be touching the hearts and minds of Australians, to look to you for comfort, strength, and peace. Amen. Almighty and eternal God, you alone work great marvels. Send down your gracious spirit on all Christian people, especially our bishops and all pastors and the congregations in their care. Strengthen and uphold them in these challenging times that they may truly please you. Grant this for the honour of Jesus Christ, our advocate and mediator. Amen. God, our refuge, when human resources fail, you alone remain our sure hope and defence. Grant healing, strength and courage to your servants, especially at this time Jean Steele and Lynn Clark. We pray for your protection of the many residents and workers from the Anglicare facility Newmarch with Jean, who have been diagnosed with coronavirus. We pray that they may be spared from this disease progressing. We continue to pray for Lynn's continued recovery and Graham's courage as he supports her in this battle. We place ourselves in your hands, confident that nothing can separate us from you, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal God, shepherd of your people, we feel the fleeting passage of life and know how fragile our existence is on this tiny planet. We confess with the prophet Isaiah, all flesh is grass and all its glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Yet we also confess the word of our God stands forever. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In our human frailty, we look to you as frightened children look to their mother, for you alone can comfort and sustain us. Have mercy on us, O God. Hear our cries to you, our loving Father, and lead us all as pilgrims through the darkest valley into the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We pray for our congregation here at St Andrews that despite the need for physical distancing, we are able to work at remaining connected through phone calls, emails, texts, or even luckily a random passing in the street opportunity. We pray for good health and a time soon when we can see each other again face to face. We ask, dear Lord, that we respond to your Spirit's prompting to reach out to others and face the challenge of showing your love through our choice of actions to those around us. If we are feeling isolated, help us to remember that we have a church family who does care, even if we can't really easily visit in person. We pray that we can draw closer to you and feel the closeness of our brothers and sisters in knowing that we have the same Father who does love us all so much, as Easter has reminded us. We pray that our hearts may be fixed where true joys are to be found, and that your Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
God cares for us each day, and his word is faithful, and his word continues to remind us that our dependence on God, he always provides, he always guides, and he gives us all we need. So for our next song, we can honestly say, the Lord is on our side for our souls. And it helps us to remember that we can bear patiently grief or pain, and that God will provide and he will remain faithful to us throughout all of our journey. Please stand and sing.
Good morning and welcome to church. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, if you're listening in for the first time. But to our regular members, welcome to church. It's even though we're not together, as Diane prayed, we and Tina's mentioned too, we pray that we may well be in spirit together and mindful of each other at this time. Well, this morning we come to the last of our Easter sermons, so please open up your Bibles to the reading that David read to us from John and from 1 Peter, and we're picking it up at the end of the chapter, at the end of the Gospel of chapter 21, and inside your bulletin you should have a sermon outline in there as well with the Bible study questions on the other side of it. Well, the title for the series of our Easter comforts, our sermons, is being called Easter Comfort. And in these different and difficult times, living with COVID-19 and the isolation from each other, my prayer and hope has been that they may have been of some small comfort to us. Life's circumstances can discourage us, and what can we be holding on to help us to not give up? The Christian message is often thought of by people, I think more so from those not familiar with God, that God's message, the church's message, is a litany of don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. And as if God is some kind of killjoy, that life his way begins with not wanting people to enjoy life. But those who know God, those who are in a relationship with God, as he has revealed himself in the Bible, know that God is far, far from being like that. What don'ts he does command are for our good if we allow ourselves to see them from his perspective. And all are usually in the context of a positive and practical message. I hope we've heard this from God's word in our four sermons so far in this Easter series. Don't be afraid, don't forget, don't hold on, don't doubt. Don't be afraid, because Jesus, that Palm Sunday, rode towards and went to the cross to bring us peace. And he's brought that peace for us. Don't forget, because Good Friday, the cross reminds us that we matter to God. We are special to Him. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Our sin has been forgiven by Christ on the cross. We have peace with God. Don't hold on, Jesus said to Mary on Easter Sunday. Jesus has risen from the dead. He has ascended to the Father. His Spirit is now with us. We don't need to long to physically hold on to Jesus, to have Him with us all the time, as if to keep Him from ever leaving us. He is always with us by His Spirit. He never leaves us. We are never alone. He'll never forsake us. And don't doubt was last week's sermon. Don't doubt all of this, because those who witnessed Christ's resurrection and the words He spoke that day and the weeks that followed can be trusted to tell us the truth. And our final sermon is in a similar vein to that last one, to last week's one. Don't give up, because one of those witnesses, the Apostle Peter, has told us of a great hope that we have because of Jesus. But before we get to that, let's turn to the first Bible reading that David read to us from John's Gospel there. Turn with me there to it now. And the question we want to ask of this little passage here is, why can we trust Peter's message of hope that he's about to tell us in his letter? Well, John ends his gospel continuing on with the same message of that of the previous chapter, that seeing is not believing, but trusting those who did. Remember, the Christian faith is not based on assumptions or feelings, but on historical facts witnessed by those who saw Jesus. Now, with the inclusion of Thomas present, all the apostles have seen the resurrected Jesus. And it's God's intent that they did for our reassurance. For they, with the help of the Holy Spirit, were to be and are the authorized and entrusted witnesses of Jesus Christ, apostles, unique ones, chosen by Jesus, set apart and sent to proclaim and record what they had seen and heard of Jesus, that we who have not can believe. Seeing is not believing, but trusting those who did. Remember, this is the reason why John wrote his gospel. Look with me back there at verses 30 and 31 of chapter 20. I'll read them to you. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded here in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. However, there might have been some doubt over the credibility of Peter as an apostle in the future. Why do I say that? Well, even Peter might have needed reassurance that he was an authentic apostle, up to the task. For it was Peter, if you remember, who denied knowing Christ three times. So I take it John's account of Peter's witness to Jesus in this last chapter and our Lord's encounter with Peter by Christ's questioning, "Do you love me?" and all this in the presence of the other disciples, was to put to rest any doubts Peter or the other disciples or the readers or us might have as to Peter's authenticity. Why? So that we can trust what Peter saw and said. I take it that's why John has gone into great length to record the historical facts, the nitty-gritty, to even to the number of fish that were there that they saw. Can you see that? And I think also John was advocating his own authenticity as an apostle as well, but not in the same way. I take it there was no doubt at the time John wrote his gospel as to being an apostle, but he may well have been the last of the apostles still alive. And if there were any readers who thought there was any truth in the rumour, because he was the last remaining and lived the longest, that he was more special as an apostle and should listen to his word more over the others than the other disciples, and that he would not die and he would see Christ's return. Look there at verses 22 and 23. That was the rumour. But John puts that rumour to rest too and gives equality of himself as an apostle with the others. Look there at verse 24. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. So why did I start here with that there? It's because I take it that John, God is guiding John to remind the readers that we can trust Peter, what he saw and what he witnessed. And we can trust John too as an apostle. In fact, we can trust all those who have written the New Testament as those who were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus. And so we now come to the second of our Bible readings. We come now to the letter of Peter, one of his letters that he wrote to the church. And he begins his letter with encouraging words, doesn't he? It's a wonderful, wonderful letter. Look with me there at verses 1 and 2. What does he say about the church then and today? Firstly, he reminds us of who we are because of Easter. Verses 1 and 2. God's elect. Exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, Abbotsford, Chiswick, Wirrabah, scattered throughout the world, and I respect that Russell Lee there, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Though we may feel at times a minority and in the world, but not of the world, exiles, in fact, from where we should be and want to be, longing to go home to be with the Lord, because of Easter, we can have the assurance that we will be with the Lord one day. We will be there with him, for God will see to that happening because of who he has made us, what we are, his elect, his chosen, his forgiven ones, his saved ones through Jesus, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ, to live the life that God has caused us to be, sprinkled, forgiven, saved with his blood. And that is what we are because of Easter. Knowing this, Peter prays, verse 2, that God will grant us his grace. That is, that God will grant us his enabling. That's another understanding of grace, God's enabling. His enabling to know the peace that we have with God and to have it and to know it in abundance. That despite life's circumstances, we will press on with God and we will not give up. What is this peace that we have? It's the forgiveness of sins. It's being at right with God. But it's also knowing that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus that Peter witnessed and saw, we have life in all its fullness, now and for eternity, with God and his people. This is the life we were meant to live. and it will never be taken away from us. Look there at verses 3 to 5. It is kept safe, not just by anybody, but by God himself. Verses 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. And this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Yes, circumstances can discourage us. But what can we hold on to? What can we hold on to help us not to give up? That God will see us to the end. In all this we greatly rejoice. But not only that, that our faith, our belief, our trusting to be true the words of those who were eyewitnesses, like Peter and John, of God in the flesh, of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done, and the promises of God in Christ for us will not be in vain. For look there at verse 6 and 7. Though now for a little while, yep, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of the greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. What a great hope we have in Christ Jesus. It's no wonder that Peter tells us to praise be to God. So, wrapping up, think back to our readings from God's Word. Why should we believe what John wrote? Why should we believe what Peter has written? Why should we believe that we have this great hope and not give up? Because we can trust those who heard and saw Jesus. We can trust John and Peter. We can trust their testimony to Christ to be true. They were eyewitnesses, set apart by Jesus himself. They saw and they heard, so that we who didn't can believe. But there is another witness, isn't there? And we know him, don't we? There is another who testifies on Christ's behalf, God's Holy Spirit. The Spirit with the Word fills us with what Peter describes and what he knew as an inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? For we know this to be true. We know this to be true. God, by his Spirit, is reminding us of what we have and will experience in all its fullness when Christ returns. Our great hope. The salvation of our souls. Verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, your belief. The salvation of your souls. Life's circumstances can discourage us, but Easter brings with it comfort. Don't be afraid. Do not forget. Do not hold on. Do not doubt. And do not give up. We have a great hope in Christ Jesus. And we know it to be true. Amen.
What a great encouragement that is to us. to not give up with all of those things. Our journey in life could be up and down and really hard. Sometimes it's not, sometimes it is. But we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. This last song reminds us of this very certainty. We are in Christ and Christ is in us and we have the Holy Spirit. So the last song that we can join in singing, we can actually say with certainty, we are never alone.
For joining us for church this morning. Don't forget to ring people up and say hello and grab yourself a cup of tea first and have a little chat together after church today or during the day and certainly during the week. If you've printed off your bulletin, I'm just going to read out the bulletin inside it today, just the announcements that are there. We give thanks to God for a reduction in the COVID-19 in Australia. We're very thankful for those making wise decisions and for those on the front line. We continue to be mindful of those who have lost loved ones and remain in prayer for those we now are affected by its impact. We want to give thanks to God for the many acts of care we see being done for one another, and we pray for an ongoing patience and vigilance and practicing what the kids were taught in church and kids' church, the fruit of the Spirit and everything that we do amongst us. There's a great little article in the Karen's put in about what's happening with Kids Church update. Please read that in your bulletins as well. Bible study by Zooming. Well, next Sunday I'm starting a new little sermon series over 6 weeks, and it's called What Makes People Tick. It's a look at the Bible's reasoning and answer to people's pressing needs and wants. And if there's anybody who wants to join us by Zooming for the Bible study, please let me know, because that's going to be happening on a Sunday evening in the evening. But give me a call and we can arrange how we can do that together. Also, following Monday, not this Monday, but the following Monday, we have our prayer meeting, and I'm going to try that again by Zooming as well. Sounds like a car, you know, zoom, zoom, back and forth. But if you want to join me in that parish prayer night on the Monday night, let me know again, send me a message, give me a call, text me a message, and I'll send you an email and we can link up and pray by Zooming at that time. Parish Council's meeting next Sunday at 11 a.m. in the morning. We're doing that by Zoom as well. Zoom, zoom, zoom. And so continue to listen in to church. Tell your friends about church. It's a great way. You don't have to do it on Sunday, but you can listen during the week as well. What do I do with my offertory envelopes is a question that's being asked. Look, just give Janice, the wardens, or myself a ring. Hold on to them, or if you want us to collect them, we can come and collect them from you over that time. Remember 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, to be collected at a later date. Set it aside. But thank you. Thank you for continuing to give and to pray. Thank you for your generosity. Well, I think that's the end of my notices for the day. I'm going to zoom away now, and I think we might just finish off with a prayer that Tina's going to do. Thanks, Tina.
May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.